on behalf of the Drucker School, the Drucker Institute, the Drucker Society, thank you. Thank you for coming to honor this man. Over the next couple days, we're going to look at the principles of Peter Drucker. And you, like I, could probably quote 200-300 Drucker proverbs, Druckerisms. I'm often embarrassed how many times I quote Peter Drucker, because he had a way of saying things so simply and so succinctly, you couldn't say it any better than the way he said it. And so I often found myself saying to leaders and to staff, well, Peter said, well, Peter said, well, Peter said. And he just had a way of saying it so easily. There are many things I could talk about, the principles that have changed my life, but I've been asked to just give a simple, brief tribute to Peter Drucker, the man. Peter was far more than the founder of modern management. He was far more than a brilliant man, one of the greatest minds of the 20th century. He was a great soul. Anybody who knew him found their lives enriched by this man. He was a uniquely great man. I met Peter when I was 29 years old. I had finished my doctorate at a school back in the East, and I had moved to Southern California to start a church from scratch, with no money, no members, no building. I didn't know anybody in the city I was moving to. I had one member, my wife. I preached the first sermon. She didn't like it. It's been downhill ever since. A few years later, I met Peter, and he became not just a teacher, a mentor, a friend. And over the years, the Saddleback grew from my wife and I to now, well, over 100,000 names on a 120-acre campus with a network of over 400,000 churches in 162 countries. This man changed my life. I don't just admire Peter Drucker. I love him. I love him for what he did in my life and taught me. I'll never forget the first question I asked Peter. It was, how often do you have to change the structure in a rapidly growing organization? Because in the first decade of our church, we were growing 42% a year average. And Peter said, well, you have to change the structure about every 45% growth. Now, since that time, I heard him use two other numbers, so I think he just made up the number. But the point was, it had to be on a consistent, regular basis, that the shoe could never tell the foot how big it gets, and that the organizational structure had to adapt and change, and you had to be fast and fluid and flexible if you were going to continue to grow and develop and meet the needs. I wrote a book 8 years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. It's the most translated book in history now, except for the Bible. It's in over 100 languages, and it sold over 40 million copies in English, becoming the best-selling book in English in history. But long before I ever wrote the idea of purpose-driven, Peter Drucker was a purpose-driven man. And he always asked the question, what is our business? Who is our customer? What do they value? What is our mission? And he always said, it is the mission that matters. It is the mission that matters. I never knew a more purpose-driven person in my life. Now, again, there are many things I could say about his principles, but you're going to hear the experts from around the world over the next couple days talk about this. So let me just talk about the man. If I summed up Peter's life in three words, it would be these words: integrity, humility, and generosity. Integrity, humility, and generosity. Because Peter instinctively knew that those were the antidotes to the three great traps of leadership. The first is the trap to compartmentalize our lives. And we want to say, well, now this is my business life, and this is my social life, and this is my family life, and this is my sex life, and this is my government life, and we want to compartmentalize our lives. That is the exact opposite of integrity. lot of people think integrity means honesty, but it's far more than honesty. Integrity comes from the word integer or integer, which means the unit of one. It literally means wholeness, not just honesty. Wholeness. It's the filling in the pie. The person of integrity is exactly the same no matter who they're with. They don't wear a mask with this group and another mask with this group and another mask with this. They're not phony. They're authentic. They're not perfect, but they are authentic. And what that means is integrity is being exactly what you appear to be. He had integrity. His life was integrated. Peter was the only Renaissance man I've ever known in my life. He literally knew a lot about everything. Not a little, but a lot about everything. And the main thing was he integrated it all. And one of the principles of Peter's personal life was this: it all matters. It all matters. And even in management, as has already been mentioned, management was not just a science. It was not just an art. It was not just a liberal art. It was not just a social construct. It was not just a spiritual discipline. It was all of these things. It was all of these things. I would often go to Peter's house many, many times over the next 25 years, sit in the back room in the den with my list of questions, and we would talk for hours, and I would write as fast as I could. And in those times, Peter often would ask as many questions back. But in that time, I would ask him a question, and he'd say, well, let me give you three examples. One example would be from the medieval Italians, and the next would be from modern Japanese art, and the next was from some tribe in the Amazon. And somehow he made it all fit. He had a way of looking at the world in a systems view that said, it all matters. You can't just be economic. You can't just be spiritual. You can't just be psychological. There is a relationship between it all, and it all matters. He was a man of integrity. Too many leaders today fall into what I call the Titanic myth. The Titanic was supposed to be an unsinkable ship because it was the first ship that actually compartmentalized the hull. Prior to that, if a ship hit an iceberg and it knocked a hole in the hull, the water would be taken into the hull and it would just sink. And so the Titanic said, well, what we'll do is we'll compartmentalize the hull so theoretically you can hit an iceberg, take on water in a certain number of compartments, like in a submarine, and still be able to stay afloat. And of course, theoretically, that's true. But really, a hole in the boat is a hole in the boat is a hole in the boat. And Peter pointed out that if you're weak in one area, that weak link will break the chain. Doesn't matter how many strong links you have in the chain. If you got one, it's going to break there. It all matters. And Peter not just taught it, he lived it. It all matters. Every area of life. The second characteristic of Peter was humility. And humility is one of the most misunderstood terms. A lot of people think humility means going around putting yourself down, saying, I'm nothing, I'm no good, or I'm worthless, or demurring about your strengths. That's not it at all. Humility is not denying your strengths. It's being honest about your weaknesses. And Peter was insistent that we be ruthless in evaluating our weaknesses, that we not cover them up, either personally or corporately, that we look at the weaknesses in our lives and we say, okay, that needs to be changed. It isn't to say it was all bad. It is to say that's bad. That needs to be worked on. And humility was the ability to be teachable. You see, this is what makes you a leader. I honor you for being here today. It actually says as much about you as it does about Peter Drucker. Because it says you're a learner. And I honor learners because all learners are leaders. And the moment you stop learning, you stop leading. Growing corporations require growing leaders. The moment you stop growing, your corporation stops growing. And that's why Peter consistently insisted on the personal life and wrote things like The Effective Executive And talked about the difference between effectiveness and efficiency, and talked about building on your strengths so that your weaknesses become irrelevant, and all of the personal life issues that he kept dealing with, because he said it's not just integrity, it's humility. And humility is a willingness to learn. And the number one characteristic of humility, and Peter modeled it, was the ability to ask questions. More than anything Peter taught me, he taught me how to ask questions. You can learn from anybody if you know the right questions. You see, everybody's ignorant, just on different subjects. You know some things the person next to you doesn't know, and the person next to them knows some things you don't know, and they know some things I don't know, and I know some things you don't know. And you can learn from anybody if you know the right questions. The first time I sat down with Peter, I had come with a list of about 100 questions. I was still just a kid. And I sat down, and about halfway through the conversation, I realized he was asking more questions than I was. And I thought, what's wrong with this picture? I came to learn from him. And I'll never forget, over the next 25 years, as we developed this close relationship as a mentor to me, and he would ask me questions, and I would ask him questions, and I realized Peter's greatness. Because I remember even right before his death, just a month or two, I think I probably did the last interview of Peter Drucker. I've never published it, but I think I did the last interview of Peter. And I was asking him questions, and he was asking back, and even still he was asking. And I walked out of that meeting, and he was getting quite frail, and tears started coming down my face, and I thought, may I be that teachable when I'm 95. Peter Drucker had forgotten more than I will ever know. But he was asking me questions. And I knew the secret of this man. That, friends, is humility. You see, most of us would rather pretend like we know it all than know it all. And we don't want to admit it when we don't know something. We don't want to admit it when we don't have the answer. We don't want to admit it that a competitor or a friend or somebody else knows something we don't know, so we pretend and we live in ignorance. Peter taught leadership is not just integrity, leadership is humility. I've taught that to leaders. I've trained over 400,000 leaders in 162 countries over the last 30 years. And much of what I've taught them were the things that I learned at the feet of Peter Drucker. The third thing I would say about this man is not just integrity and not just humility, but this man modeled generosity. He was generous with his time. He was generous with his affirmation. And he taught that, you know, the root word of miserable is the word miser. And it is when we hold on to our money and hold on to our reputation and hold on to our secrets and hold on to the insights we've been giving that miserness makes us miserable. On the other hand, the more you give away, the more you get. It's just the law of the universe. I think as we begin these 2 days together talking about the principles of Drucker, we can also learn from the person of Drucker. And may we honor him on his 100th birthday with a new commitment in our own lives to integrity, to humility, and to generosity. Thank you.